Once again, we want to welcome everyone and have you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, where we will finish our reading that we began this morning. Paul wrote to Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That being true, as a gospel preacher, we have to remember from time to time that it should be more scripture and less me. So this is a lesson that's definitely more scripture and less of me. As we said this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes was written 3,000 years ago by a very important man, King Solomon, the richest man maybe that ever lived in the world, the most wise man that ever lived. And he had the same questions about life that you and I have. What's life all about? And he searched up and down for that which would give him lasting satisfaction and happiness. And as he searched the things of this life, not necessarily sinful things, things of everyday life, he sought in riches, he sought in building projects and things of that nature, he found that nothing in that category could bring that satisfaction. And he wrote this book about his experiences and about his conclusions in this search. As we said this morning, the kind of the two keys in this book are the word vanity. It's used dozens of times. He finds the life under the sun here. When you purely approach life from a worldly aspect, everything's vain. And that being the case, then we need to realize that our life under the sun here will never truly give us the satisfaction that we desire. And the reason for that, we pointed out this morning, is Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. God has put eternity in our hearts. And that being the case, there's only one thing that can satisfy that portion of our being, and that's God himself, the eternal being. Chapter 7, a good name is better than precious ointment. How true is that? And there's nothing easier to ruin than one's good name. It doesn't take much at all to do that, and it's very difficult to regain it, especially encourage our young people never to forget that. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. Ryan preached his lesson on paradoxes of the Bible, and I thought of this one, which he didn't include. If you included every paradox in the Bible in a sermon, you might be preaching all day long. But what a paradox. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Well, let's go on. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. I've preached several funeral sermons, and I always use this verse. It's so impactful. You learn much more at a funeral home than you do at a party. And he goes on to say that, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. It's good to go to a funeral. It reminds us of our own mortality, because sooner or later, the funeral that we'll attend will be our own funeral. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Foolish people just think life is, and that's not true. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Turn over to Psalm 141 and verse 5. That's the psalm I had been looking for in a number of times. I mentioned it, and I just love this psalm, and I hope that all of us strive to have a spirit that captures this. The psalmist writes, "Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it." that was one of the points that Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, that we all need rebuke and chastening from time to time, and rather than reject it, we should welcome it. So, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like crackling thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This also is vanity. I get the picture there of someone trying to cook their food over an open fire. And what do thorns produce? They produce a noise, but no heat. And that's exactly what the words of a fool are like. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases his heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Here's some really good advice, and I'm pointing the finger at myself. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Every time I lose my temper, I think of this verse, that what good comes from anger? Nothing good comes from our anger. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Oh, the good old days. Back in the good old days. Well, those are back in the good old days. And we need to live and appreciate the blessings we have now. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. More than one person has saved themselves in dire situations with the exercise of wisdom. Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? Nobody. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will happen after him. I am reminded of Job, that men are so willing to accept prosperity from the Lord, but they're not willing to accept the opposite, and both come from his hands. I have seen all things in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Again, back to this idea that life just under the sun, when it's looked solely from that viewpoint, is unfair. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. I kind of take away from that section the idea of what's the best course of action. It's moderation in all things. Don't go to extremes. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. It's much better to be a wise person than a powerful person. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as Paul writes in Romans 3. Also, do not take to heart everything people say. What are the things a lot of people say a lot of the times? They engage their mouth before they engage their brain, so don't take everything seriously. People say a lot of things they don't mean. But there's also another lesson in it. Lest you hear your servant cursing you, for many times also your own heart is known that even you have cursed others. We've all done that, so don't get too upset about it. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who could find it out? There's just some things that are beyond our knowledge that are beyond our ability to understand happen in life from time to time. I applied my heart to know, to search out and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. I think there's a class of woman here that every woman should try to avoid being, that clinging, controlling kind of a person. And not that men can't be that same way too. Here's what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all of these I have not found. Sounds like Solomon had woman problems, didn't he? He ended up with thousands of wives, and he didn't find one that made him happy. I remember, I think the guy's name was J. Paul Getty. He was some big oil tycoon, lived back in the 50s in that era, and something that he said on his deathbed, to the point that he, big thing missing in his life was a woman that loved him. And I thought that was such a tragic thing to have experienced all of these other things, but not experience that. Truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. That's a good anti-Calvin doctrine passage. We're not born totally depraved. We're born and made upright. It's when we choose to do evil that we go astray from God. Chapter 8, who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom's face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I counsel you, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. We need to remember that as we live daily in the world. As Peter wrote, we're to keep every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. It's not just loyalty to the government. God has ordained civil government. And as long as the civil government's laws do not conflict with God's laws, we're expected to obey those laws, even though they can be not the best things from time to time. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Every April 15th, that grinds my teeth, but I've got to do it. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? You wouldn't do that to a king in the time of Solomon, that's for sure. He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. Again, the civil government is ordained by God, and it's to punish evildoers. It's not meant to punish law keepers. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment. So sometimes it's just not the right time to do certain things, when other times it is. And that takes a wisdom to be able to discern that, for sure. Though the misery of a man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? We don't know the future. Probably better that we don't know the future. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. Death is the great equalizer. Makes no difference what the size of one's net worth. Doesn't make any difference what great things or not so great things one has accomplished in life. Doesn't matter what family you were born into or weren't born into. Death has the power over all of us. There is no discharge in that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which man rules over another to his own hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This also was vanity. So the wicked are forgotten, because this is one that our authorities need to pay attention to, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I've always grated when people get on this kick, well, capital punishment is not effective. Well, certainly it's not effective when you sentence people to capital punishment and it takes 30 or 40 years to execute sentence. There's not a lot of fear in that. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. So lest we think that evil men are getting away with it and seemingly never coming to justice, there will be ultimate justice. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before he's going to get his. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor for the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. Constantly returns to this idea of enjoying the physical blessings that God has given us, keeping them in perspective. Each day has its blessings from God. The food that we eat, the things that we're drink, the air that we breathe, the clothes that we wear, the shelter we enjoy. But keep it in perspective. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on the earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. It reminds me of Job, that when he questioned God and God questioned him. We shouldn't question God. There's so much going on in the spiritual realm that we may never understand, or at least may never understand until the gates of eternity are open. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. So it doesn't make any difference how smart you are or not smart. God's ways are just sometimes very mysterious, and we have to put our trust that his ways are always right and always in our best interests. Chapter 9. For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything that is before them. Everything occurs alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. And as he who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. So from that perspective, it doesn't make any difference whether we're evil or good, righteous or wicked. That's not what determines what happens to us sometimes in life. It's, as he's going to talk about, time and chance happen to all men. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. that brings quite a picture to mind, doesn't it? That a lion is one of the greatest beasts of all, but when we're dead, it doesn't matter how great we were. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. That's, again, another Jehovah's Witness verse that they misuse. From the perspective of life under the sun, when we're dead, what happens? We don't know nothing. When we're laid out in that coffin at the funeral home, we have no idea who came to see us and who didn't. We're in a different realm now. And that's his point. For the memory of them is forgotten. That's the sad part, that once we die, what was remembered of us begins to fade, even with our closest loved ones over time. And it doesn't take too long until, do you remember Uncle so-and-so? Yeah, who, what did he do? When did he do this? Well, I forgot. As their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished, nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. That's the realm of life he's talking about. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all the days of vanity. For that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Again, advice to our young people. 90% of the battle in your adult life, insofar as your career and so forth, find something that you love to do, because that is what you can do with all your might. And you'll find much more satisfaction there than just having a job and making a living. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. Here's the kicker, but time and chance happen to them all. We're in the NCAA tournament right now, and the number one seed doesn't always win, does it? Time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. I heard a sermon one time that was a really touching sermon. And this verse was part of it, but one of the incidents the preacher related in this sermon was some friends of his. They were Christians. They had a 13 or 14 year old daughter, and another family that was Christians had bought a new van, and they were going to go pick up the van at the dealership, and they asked if this family's daughter could go with them, and she was very excited and so forth, and they went. And a few hours later, they were all killed in that new van. Time and chance just happen. You explain things sometimes. It's just the way life works, and it can be terribly tragic. So we have to live for today, take advantage of the blessings God has given us, and really appreciate them, and especially appreciates our relationships with each other. This wisdom I've also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. No good deed will go unpunished. seems in life from time to time. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. We need to remember that as we live our lives and the impact that our actions have on the people that are closest to us. Doesn't take much to destroy those close bonds that we have. Chapter 10, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Doesn't take much to ruin the perfume, and it doesn't take much to ruin a otherwise respectable life with a little foolishness. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he's a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. Sometimes the tables get turned. He who digs a pit will fall into it. Haman learned that lesson, didn't he? He set a trap for Mordecai, and he was the one that fell into it. And whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. I can see a person trying to dig through the wall of a house back in those days to steal something, and he thinks he's going to get something valuable when on the other side there's a snake. Surprise! He who quarries stone may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. In making our plans, sometimes we would be much further ahead to think very carefully. We might avoid a lot of heartache and a lot of loss rather than just trying to bull our way through the situation. A serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No one knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? But that doesn't stop the fool, does it? He thinks he knows better. The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. They can't even walk down the street, because they're so foolish. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child. That's not a recipe for success, is it? To have someone as a child in leadership. And your princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Just think how much better the world would be if we had good, level-headed, clear-thinking people in government that were doing things that were in the best interest of the country, the best interest of the state or the county or whatever it was, rather than for their best interest. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. Got to take care of things. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Well, I think he's being sarcastic there. Money doesn't answer everything. Money's not the answer. Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. when I was a teenager, I worked at a place, and we a lot of teenagers worked there, and I'll never forget, I said some things about the management there, the ownership there, and I was just being a stupid teenager. And lo and behold, those words got back to those in charge, and I didn't have a job, but I learned a lesson. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. You share, and that's a constant thing that God expects of his people. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. I think every farmer understands this. There just comes a time when you got to do what needs to be done, and you have to take a chance that it's going to work out. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes all things. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. In the area of Michigan that we live, sugar beets was a prominent crop. And every sugar beet farmer will tell you that the earliest possible date you can possibly plant sugar beets is the plant. That doesn't mean you'll not end up replanting because of a heavy frost or something, but got to take that chance. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. From the perspective of life under the sun, what's in store for all of us? Well, the life under the sun is going to end. And the time that we're going to be dead, if you will, is a long, long time compared to the time that we're able to enjoy here in this life. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Enjoy your life. But remember, we're all going to have to give an account sometime before God. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Something comes to my mind about the vigor of youth is misspent on the young or something like that, to that effect. When you're older and wiser, unfortunately, you don't have the strength and vigor of youth to enjoy being older and wiser. Well, chapter 12, the last chapter, and he's going to bring this to a conclusion. The first part, he's going to talk about the importance of serving God while we're young. And that is such an important lesson that we all need to learn. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, while you have this vigor of youth, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, that's old age he's talking about, and the strong men bow down. You're not nearly as strong when you get older. I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was around the time we got Dawn, just before that. Ryan loved to play basketball, and I played basketball with him. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. He was living in Danville in my dad's house. I came down to visit him, and there's a park in Danville with these basketball courts, and he wanted to go shoot baskets. Okay, we'll go shoot baskets. And we're there at the park, and I launch a three-pointer, and it's short. And I'm like, and I get the ball again, and I do it again, and it's short. I couldn't get the ball to the basket anymore. Once you get to a certain age, your body just is not as strong as it used to be. And that was a real eye-opener to me when that happened. Okay. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, losing the teeth, and those that look through the windows grow dim, eyesight's not as good. I remember when I was younger, older people say, well, I just can't get out at night and drive like I used to. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Now I know what they're talking about, very much so. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, can no longer hear as well either. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, just something little, and all the daughters of music are brought low. You hear things, some things, but some things, good things, you can't hear anymore. And then they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember, the grave is awaiting all of us. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. That's one lesson I hope I've learned, is that, and I've seen this, and it's sad. While we're young and we have the strength of youth, we really need to work on growing our faith, because the time will come, if we live long enough, that old age sets in. Life is not nearly as much fun as it used to be. And we can have health problems and all kinds of things of that nature. And it can be a really big challenge to our faith. And unfortunately, I've seen some Christians that I never would have thought that have lost their faith when they've gotten into those elderly years. Verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Of course, Solomon wrote most of the proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. There's the key. Are words wise and helpful when we speak as the oracles of God? And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. Amen. So here's the grand conclusion of this man's search for the meaning of life, for true satisfaction in life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. You want satisfaction in life? There's only one way to be truly satisfied, and that's to serve God. That'll bring satisfaction each and every day to your life. And most importantly, it'll bring satisfaction at the end, because we're going to have to give an answer to the one who's given us life. If you're here and you don't have spiritual life, and you want spiritual life, you want true satisfaction, we want to encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing. No tears and